Welcome to Miracle Nutrition Airlines with Captain Hardy White. I'm fake Captain Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we take a flight on a magical airplane going to a mysterious airport somewhere in the depths of our imagination. I'm so glad that you chose to fly with me today. Sit back and relax and enjoy your flight. Well, hello everybody. This is your captain speaking, Hardy White. I'd like to welcome you all aboard flight 409 to nowhere in particular. Flight time will be about an hour. We're going to be departing Jersey City and probably just circle over Pittsburgh a few times and head right back. Now, I know that that's no destination, is it? But not every trip has a destination. Oh, how Taoist of you, Hardy. Well, I'm telling you, sometimes it's just more fun to take a trip and not be going anywhere. One time a Taoist master got on a plane and everybody groaned and they said, oh, I guess we're not going anywhere. But what they forgot is that there were in-flight movies and things like that. They were going to get a free glass of water. Well, not free, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And some snack mix. So that's not nothing. And then they'll have experiences like you'll be able to eavesdrop on the people in front of you and back of you. And they're saying crazy things like, I thought Orlando was too warm. And you'll learn something. You'll think, yes, I'm not going to go to Orlando. Because why is Orlando so warm? Because it's one of the gateways to hell. No, it's not. Well, it might be. I'm not going to take anything away from it. I haven't been there in a long time. And so I do not know. Again, this is going to be a fantastic flight. I've never really flown a plane before. We're going to be flying about, I'd say like 5 feet off the ground. Because I don't want to endanger anyone. I don't want to go up so high. Even in my dreams, I do not fly very high because I'm afraid of crashing. So we're just going to sort of hover. And right now we're doing that because we're sitting on the tarmac. Full name Tar McAdam. And he's an Irish fella. Laying down there so we can roll on his back and launch ourselves into the air and into an adventure. Oh, we're going to have some fun. The current temperature in Jersey City, no idea, because we're in this beautiful air-conditioned airplane. It depends where you're from. This, I guess I could run through the safety things. This airplane has multiple exits. You can get off any time and just shut off the radio. Really, and we're gone. And you're off the plane. Isn't that nice? So there's no feeling claustrophobic. There's plenty of leg room. Oh, just sit back and relax. Relax, relax. You are feeling sleepy. And now you are a monkey chicken. And you've just laid a banana-flavored egg. That doesn't sound too bad. We will not be serving those on this flight, though. Some flights, you'll notice you'll have some sort of catalog. And you can shop. And say, oh, I want a watch. And what's this thing? I don't know. I think it squeezes cherries. Why would you want to do that? Don't know. But it's something you can buy. And or a foot massager. Or I have two foot massagers. I call them hands. But a lot of people say, I want to be doing needlepoint when my feet are massaged. Fair enough. So we're going to take a little trip today. Oh, I know you have so many questions. I hope that they can be answered by this pointless flight. It is a flight of what? You're going to say fancy. Yes, because that's a cliche, or what do you call it, an expression. Fly, I'm going on a flight of fancy. This isn't that, though. This isn't very fancy at all. No, not at all. Now, some of you will be arriving before others, because some of you are in the front of the plane, but it's just like twin birth order. You're virtually getting there at the same time, even though technically one of you comes first. Somebody has to come first. So why shouldn't it be the people that are drinking champagne while we're still on the ground? And those of you in the back will actually not... It'll be actually minutes before you get off because you have to wait for the people in front of you to go in the overhead bin and grab their luggage. So just sit tight and you can finish John Wick 2 or whatever you were watching. I don't even know. Maybe it was Paddington 2. I get those two confused. What's the one where Paddington says he wants tactical lining in his suit? That might be the second one. I don't remember. I know they're, one of them goes to prison. So we're going to have some in-flight entertainment, and a flight attendant will be not really coming around. It's self-serve. So if you'd like a juice or something, you know where you keep the juice. I don't even know where it is. Where do you keep your juice? In the cupboard? In the fridge? It depends whether you've opened it or not. And that's a metaphor. You know, where you keep something depends on whether you've opened it or not, because once you've opened it, it begins to spoil. What's the metaphor for? I guess juice or anything like that. Or the box. You ever get a box of eggs and it's already whipped up and everything? No. All right, well, they have those. They have them. And we won't be serving that either. It'd be nice if, I've been to restaurants where you cook your own food. It'd be great if your table, that flip down tray in front of you, was actually sort of some sort of hibachi. Wouldn't that be nice? You could do the and they could flip shrimp into the mouth of your seatmate. But we don't quite have that. I guess it's dangerous. I don't know. It's so funny. We put vomit bags in there, but we can't put a simple hibachi. I don't understand how that works. But I don't want to make any airplane jokes. It's a cliche that comedians make airplane jokes. And I guess, I don't know, the first one I heard was Shelley Berman. But I'm sure there's people before that, maybe. The Wright brothers even, going, what is this? What is it with cloth wings? They would say, I don't know. But again, I'm your pilot. Can you believe it? Yes, I think I can. I'm going to be locking the cabin though, because I'm scared you're going to say, oh, he's not really competent, so maybe I could fly the plane. Yes, you probably could, but I don't want to let you know that, because then you'll go ahead and fly it yourself, and you won't need me. Is that right? You won't need me? We still need you to clean up. Thank you. I know I'm good for something. Well, listen, we got some in-flight movies I want to turn you on to, and a lot of them are... the biggest one we have is Miracle Nutrition, so I've got some episodes of that. But I want you to listen to these, because I want to talk about them with you, and really, instead of flying the plane. I can fly the plane and talk. Can't you? I can do two things at once. I can chew gum and cucumber at the same time. So let's listen to some. See what we were up to a few months ago.
I'm having a midwife crisis.
What's a midwife crisis?
That's when you look at your life and think, am I really cut out for midwifery?
Oh, I get that a lot.
What the?
What?
Something wrecked my flower bed. It's crushed, look.
Oh, no. I bet it was your dog.
Spiny? Of course it wasn't. You take that back. I know my dog. Stop talking garbage about Spiny.
Jeesh, man, I'm just saying. Your dog runs around out there and digs stuff up, and it was probably him.
I swear to God, you better stop. You do not know Spiny or me or anything about flowers.
Butchie.
Go to hell.
Well, what did it then?
Uranus. The planet Uranus is in Capricorn, and this syzygy energy flattened them. Because I'm a Scorpio.
I think more likely it was the dog.
If I had a knife handy, I would stab your throat, you lying piece of mess.
Dang, man, look, you know, I don't actually know.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I have no proof it was Spiny.
You mean that?
I don't want to lose you as a friend, man.
I feel the same way.
It was probably Uranus.
Probably?
No, it was definitely Uranus. I love you.
I love you too, man. I'm sorry I blew up like that. I hate my temper.
That's okay.
It's just that I get passionate about the truth.
I know, it's cool. I'm just glad we're tied again.
Hug?
Sure. Love you, man.
Me too.
What's this love fest about?
Oh, hey, we're just reconciling.
About what?
Well, Butchie's flower bed got leveled by the planet Uranus's cosmic waves, and I was insisting it was the dog. But I finally had the courage to admit that I was wrong.
And I respect that, man. Even though you were so wrong, you came around. That takes guts.
Thanks, man.
It was the dog.
Hardy, please, we just made peace.
What did you say?
You're both wrong. It was the dog. I saw him.
Liar!
What the heck, Butchie?
Hardy, please. I thought you were all pro-love and harmony.
I am, but I can see you think something else might have wrecked the bed. But Uranus?
Hey, something wrecked them.
You are a terrible person. Even if we are wrong, which we aren't, why is that more important than peace?
Because you built that peace on a lie, on sandy soil. The next time the flower bed gets wrecked and Uranus isn't around, you'll do mental gymnastics to make it all fit. Eventually, you'll have all your beds crushed because you never stopped the dog.
What crap? He admitted he was wrong. If he goes back on that, then I'm wrong. How is that fair?
Butchie, that's how the truth works. Look, the scientist who thought nerve impulses were always electrical had to give in eventually to the chemical guys. If they all came over to his side, just for unity's sake, neuroscience would have stopped right there.
So you're saying we have to undo the fake piece and go back to being contentious and try again?
Well, unfortunately, maybe. Unless you agree to look for the truth together. But, right now, the dog is tearing up the flowers. Look, right now.
Oh, no, I'm not falling for that.
He's not lying, but his spine is digging up the bed right now.
You guys have no shame. You sicken me. You both have decided that you do not want peace.
Butch.
Nothing more to say. Out.
Really?
Get out.
Okay, it's Uranus.
It's Uranus. You're right, Butch.
There. Isn't that easy? Now we just sit down and have breakfast and enjoy the lovely things from my garden. Also, if my garden gets wrecked again, I'm blaming you guys because you probably made Uranus mad.
Fair enough.
Oh, what is the truth? Did we just betray the truth in order to remain friends with Butchie? Yes, sort of. Yes, we did. Is that just? No, not really. Is that good advice? No, I don't know, man. I'm very confused. What do you do when your friends just won't accept something that's true and you still want to love them? I don't know. I wish I knew. I'm just presenting that to comfort you, to say, yes, I go through that too, and I don't have a definitive answer. Is there objective truth? Yes. Locally, there is in the moment. Of course there is. If you said, is that the bathroom? It either is the bathroom or isn't the bathroom. See, go in there. You'll see. There's no real place to take a bath, so I guess we could argue about the name, right? But there's just a toilet to pee and poo in. Or, I guess if you're very tiny, if you're incredible shrinking man or something, you could say, oh, I could bathe in here. Look at this beautiful ceramic swimming pool. And you dive in, and then you realize there's no easy way to get out. How am I going to get out? Grab hold of the camphor tablet hanging on the side. Grab hold of that. Oh, incredible shrinking man, you'll be okay. I'll help you out. And a giant scoops you out of your swimming pool and drops you right on the chaise lounge. That's really truth. But I guess, you know, when it comes to, like, the universe, and I don't know, we can argue about those things all day, but life is basically experiential. You know, you have feelings and everything. You're hungry, you're tired, and so, yes, things are true or not, but people will confuse you, won't they? Because there's things that we don't want to believe that may be true. Like you're saying, why, if I'm on an airplane, why don't I not hear the airplane noises anymore? Because you have your earbuds in. You chose to listen to the in-flight entertainment, right? But I pressed Miracle Nutrition. You must have pressed have the pilot talk to you. Yes, I am the pilot, and I'm sort of driving this plane, but we're all in it together. If it wasn't for you, I certainly wouldn't be driving a plane around. Is driving really the right word? Flying? I don't know that we're really far enough off the ground for it to constitute flying, so we can just talk about the definition of the word. What is flying? Is it just when your feet aren't off the ground? Mine are off the ground, rather. Mine are off the ground right now because I'm sitting in a chair, but I don't feel like I'm flying. I do in a way, because my imagination is soaring in the clouds, but not too high, because again, even if I'm imagining them up high, it's frightening to me. Oh, I wish I knew how to get along with my friends and family all the time. I love them. Sometimes I loathe them because maybe they're doing something ugly. And it's hard to accept, and I don't know if I need to accept it. I just have questions. I don't even know who I am exactly. Who are you, Hardy? I don't know. We all struggle with matters of identity. Who am I? Am I my genetics? Am I the people I lived with? Some will say to you, oh, you're not really from... Were you born in that place? No. Then you're not from there. All right, where were you born? I was born so-and-so. Did you live there? No. Then you're not from there. Uh-oh. Where am I from?
Nowhere.
Oh, gosh, that's not good. I hate being from nowhere. Or do I like being from nowhere? Where you going, Hardy? Nowhere. Where you from? Nowhere. Then you're going home. Oh, yes. Well, would you like to listen to more? Yes. These are old episodes. They have been censored because we're on an airplane, and we don't know if the people behind you are watching over your shoulder, and so there's certain things we don't want them to see. You know what I'm saying? So they have been, I guess they've been edited from their original content. But it's just like if you're watching an old episode of Mannix. You know, you say, oh, it doesn't have any of the violence or nudity I remember. Do you remember that? Because it wasn't in there to begin with. So I'm telling you that things are cut out, but they really aren't. I guess what's cut out is context. So you don't know what the context were. Like I said to Butchie one time, you mean the one with a handle? No, we don't have it anymore. I guess that's out of context, but at the time it was hilarious. Everybody laughed, say, oh, that's wicked, wickedly witty. I'll tell you the rest of the stuff another time, but I'm real proud of what I said there. Well, let's listen to more. This is a time where we had an identity problem, me and my friends. Hey, Butch, I see you're doing some genealogy there. Are you related to the original Baruch Spinoza? I don't think so. I was told that one of my ancestors changed our name to Spinoza from the original family surname of Spam, for obvious reasons. Oh, because of the canned meat. No, because we're rationalists. There was no Spam in the 18th century.
Well, we don't know that.
That's a pretty complete family tree you're looking at. Who's this guy?
Cropmount Jack Viper. Now there's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
That's a name I haven't heard, ever. Is it in fact a name?
Yeah, it's my first cousin twice removed.
So it's one of your grandparents' first cousins?
No, it's my first cousin. It's just that,
oh, let me take this one. You call him twice removed because he's been twice removed from family reunions for being drunk.
Not even close. It's because of the time machine. I'm my own grandfather.
Doesn't that mean...
Shut up! So he's both my first cousin and my first cousin twice removed.
I just think that you're mad that I knew the old joke you were about to tell and are so stubborn that you'd rather say that you married your own grandma than that I knew the punchline.
Shut up!
So what got you interested in genealogy, Butchie?
I don't want to lose touch with my family.
Oh,
in case I need a kidney or bone marrow or some uncle croaks and I got money coming.
I think any excuse for staying family is good.
I can trace my family all the way back to Portugal, and before that, to Pangaea.
Pangaea? There weren't even humans then.
Correct. I am descended from single-cell nobility.
I got one of those DNA tests done, and I'm about to get the results. You want to hit that doorbell sound effect for me?
Sure.
Close enough. I'll get it.
Delivery from Mr. Lou Register.
Oh, that's me, Hans.
How's it going, Lou?
Pretty good. This is the results of my DNA test.
Oh, I hope you passed.
Is it like Bennett Surf Day or something? Why all the corny jokes?
People are tired, Lou.
I know.
Well, open it. I want to see the results.
It's a Doctor Who coffee mug. So, what are you, part Gallifreyan?
No, I ordered this a while back. Oh, look, I got an email. It's my results. They're online. Pull up the website, Butchie.
Okay. Here you go.
Lewis Register. Our tests say that you are... Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Lou, is that right?
That can't be right.
You're not what you thought you were. So what?
It's just that... So am I adopted or something? Or is my family not telling me something?
It could be a lot of things.
Not that my background was a huge part of my identity, but this is kind of a shocker.
All this is stupid. Everyone is related to everyone else. This is just a reflection of recent concentrations of people. It's political. You know more one thing than another. You don't know anyone farther back than your grandparents anyway. Who are they to you? They're virtual strangers.
Butchie's right in a way, Lou.
Well, that's not it. I don't care where my ancestors were from. But this means that maybe I've been lied to by my family.
Well, that would suck a little.
But you don't know that, and you don't know the story, really. But if I were you, I'd call your grandma and ask what gives.
I don't know that I can do that.
That's why I just emailed her. She'll clear this up, or be ridiculously shocked herself.
But she...
I'm curious. And then again, I'm not.
I'm not sure I want to know. I love my family, and they love me. And it's not really that important where my ancestors came from.
Your recent ancestors. Look, man, humans go back pretty far, and then you run into the problem of what's a human. Things are blurry and mixed up.
I'm agreeing with Butchie a lot, which is weird.
I want to show you something. Come with me.
Time machine?
Correct. I'm going to introduce you to your ancestors.
How do you even know who they are? Because now, even I don't.
I don't need to know. Get in.
I'll set the coordinates. Where are we headed?
I want you to put the following sequence of numbers in.
All right, ready.
010.
And?
That's it.
Those aren't coordinates, Butchie.
Trust me.
Oh, no. Come on, Butch.
All right, let's go. I'm pushing the launch button. I said launch, not launch.
Hats off to Chuck McCann. Well, we're going somewhere, I guess.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope? Where are we going?
We are going beyond the creation of the known universe.
Butch, we'll be killed.
Oh my God, you're so dramatic. Of course we'll be killed. But you were gonna die anyway.
But not for years, maybe.
Where we're going, there are no years.
I don't understand what you're doing.
You guys are too focused on your little island of time and what you think is the present. And your little island of... island that is Earth. You cannot comprehend the actual situation in which you appear to exist.
I don't follow.
All you see are parts. You need to experience the whole.
It says we're billions of years in the past.
Or the future. Where we're going, there is no distinction. There's no distinction between anything. Welcome to the singularity, jerks! I always thought if the real Spinoza had a time machine, he'd take it to the beginning of time to look for God.
Oh, you've lost your mind.
No, this is what being rational is about. You see apes and birds and bugs and plants and planets, and I see a continuum. I see a universe without distinctions.
Did I turn the coffee maker off?
It goes off by itself.
Oh, thank God. Say all that again, Butch. I was sort of obsessing about the coffee maker and wasn't really listening.
This is your captain speaking again. We are currently, I don't know where, flying at a height of, I'm not sure, and we will be there in, I have no idea.
Oh, I have no confidence in this captain because he says he doesn't know. He says he doesn't know the answer to these questions.
Okay, here, I'll do this then. I'll give you some answers. They may or may not be true. I'm admitting something. I'm admitting the truth. I'm telling the truth. But I can tell you this. Okay, now we're flying over Syracuse. We will, we're flying at a height of 30,000 feet, and we will be there in, I don't know, 40 minutes.
Okay, thank you.
I have given you answers, but I have made them up. So, you'd rather hear made-up answers than the truth. Sometimes the truth is, I don't know. Usually that's the truth.
Oh, we'd love answers to our questions.
But we're not even asking the right questions sometimes. Oh, it's so difficult. Do you just want to close your eyes for a minute? Take a deep breath. Sometimes I forget to breathe, but then I start choking and coughing, and that's a brilliant reminder. So that's not something that I need to be reminded of often. What I do need to be reminded of sometimes is to be gentle, both with others and myself. Sometimes I expect too much of myself, that I can figure out things that other people haven't been able to figure out. That I'm required to have answers about myself, about my life. You should know yourself at least, really, because this brain is complicated. And I don't think I have access to all parts. It's like renting a house, and they say, well, okay, you can rent the house. Beautiful. But you can't go in this room, and I'm not giving you the key to the shed. All right, so I don't really have access to the whole house. Right, including the attic. Don't go up there. Okay, so where can I go? Well, you've rented the kitchen, one of the bathrooms, two of the bedrooms, not the front stoop. I'm going to be there all day, every day, sitting there watching you come and go because I'm worried about it. I shouldn't have rented the house to begin with. It's made me very paranoid now. So I'd like to keep an eye on y'all. And you'll notice there's spy cameras in all the bedrooms because I want to watch you sleep
I don't know what you're going to do, whether you're going to get up. And that, what if you have night terrors and you wake up screaming? Who knows what's going to happen then? Yeah, but you're not around. But I am. I'm on the front porch. And if I hear the screams, I'm going to be, I don't know, disconcerted. And I don't want to do that. Oh, I'm so glad you took this flight. Why did you? I don't know why, but we're always glad that you're flying with us. Now, we do have, you know, you'll notice that we have classes. I'm sorry. For some reason, even though it doesn't have to be this way, there's some weird caste system when we fly. And I'm sorry about that, but I like being lowly. I like being low. I'm even going to get a T-shirt that says Zone 3, you know, because I don't mind. I was sitting next to a fellow in the airport, and he's talking to a woman, and he says, can't remember the last time I didn't fly first class. This is the first time he's making all these excuses for flying coach. And I've never flown first class. I've only flown what they call coach. It's not really a coach. What would make it a coach? Well, it would be yelling, barking orders at us and everything. Come on, you ninnies. I'm going to read you a poem about fishing. But that's not. The Flying Coach was a wonderful TV series when I was coming up, The Flying Coach. I think Jerry Van Dyke was in it. I don't remember. But this fella was bragging. And then somebody else came up. He said the same thing to them. And when I was coming up, someone said, you know, you shouldn't brag and all. But now everybody does. And I don't have anything to brag about, so I got to make things up. Oh, and you have to be imaginative. I tell people I'm royalty and that I'm a wizard and everything like that. And they look at me funny. I guess that's not, you should brag about realistic things. But I don't have any real tangible accomplishments. I've stayed alive. That's enough, I think. That's all that's required of me. That's all that my biology is telling me. Just stay alive. Stay alive. Get to the next donut. So I'm trying to do that. Oh, my goodness. It's so difficult sometimes to figure out what's going on. We think we have enough evidence. But sometimes I'm just left in the dark. Like that time that Butchie and Lou were playing their special name game.
Tony Rankokas.
Ricky Melba.
Billy Diapers.
Joey Sweats.
Mickey Rice Checks.
Maud Sticky.
Leslie Hat Smells.
Jim Product.
Alana Mintz.
Do you mean Elena?
Whatever.
Timmy Maps.
Ann Canapes.
Mike Popup.
Tony Flatworm.
Grace Track.
Petey Pine Nut.
Jackie Clams.
Jerry Fitzmost.
Billy Slacks.
Jeannie Foist.
Carl Wastes.
Ted Rebar.
Antoinette Peep.
Marty Letts.
Amita Alou.
Oh, Omar Potato.
Sally Cramps.
Davy Keeper.
Irv Tallytote.
Mary Shuffles.
Jack Pillow.
Johnny Oil.
Marita Shrimp.
Kate Rents.
Al Drinkbag.
Scott Krupp.
Jackson Mask.
Sammy Blanket.
Joanne Stonefruit.
Todd Plum.
Alice Grab.
Larry Pep. What are you guys doing?
Oh, we're playing a game we play.
What, will you make up funny names?
No!
So they're real names?
Ha!
It's hard to explain.
Oh, come on.
Well, you gotta figure it out on your own.
Try me. Maybe I can figure it out.
All right.
So you go, and then I'll try.
Okay. Joey Seedling.
Mickey Plants.
Not even close.
What?
Yeah, that was... Look, next time we play, just listen really closely. You'll figure it out.
No, he won't. Please, give me a hint.
I'll let you try again. How about that?
Okay. Lenny Traffic.
Good one, Butch.
Diane Lint.
What?
I think you're just randomly saying things. Take your time and you'll see a pattern.
Oh, please let me try again.
Come on, this is a waste of time.
Why can't you just face that there might be some things you just don't get?
But, I mean, if you guys get it...
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Careful!
Because we're stupid? No, that's not what I meant. How could stupid guys get it when you can't?
I'm sure if you explain the rules to me, I'll understand how to play. It's just that it's hard to figure out just hearing the solutions without knowing the problem.
What if I told you there were no rules? that it was just a matter of us knowing if it feels right.
Or what if there are rules and they're so simple you'll feel like a fool if you ever figure them out?
Or so complicated you might never figure them out. Listen, just sleep on it. Maybe it'll come to you in a dream.
You know, you can learn an awful lot from those in-flight safety videos. How so, sir? Well, always put, in the unlikely event of the loss of cabin pressure, always put the mask on yourself first before putting it on the child. Why is that? Because if you got to survive to be able to take care of that child. So if you're not alive and healthy, you can't take care of somebody. So be sure to take care of yourself first and then take care of the other people. Otherwise, you won't be good as a caretaker. Do you understand? It always says that. The thing will drop, and then you put the mask on over your nose and mouth, and then just breathe normally like Frank Booth, and then turn to the child, because everyone knows the children can live in a vacuum. And so they'll be fine for a few minutes. And then you can take care of them. So people forget to take care of themselves. They self-sacrifice. But if you've self-sacrificed, how are you going to take care of the other? So I always say that. Turn to those safety videos. They are very... And always review the packet in front of you. If someone offers you information, go ahead and take it. Remember where the exits are. Some of you are sitting in an exit aisle seat. You got any problem being leaders? You're going to have to be leaders. You're going to have to open that door. You have any problem with that? No, I think I can handle it should that happen. Again, it's unlikely, and it really is unlikely. But our fears don't know that. Our fears, we run through all sorts of scenarios. What if, what if, what if? And that's fine. It's okay. It's okay to think of what ifs, you know, you got to have plans, but you can do it in the same calm spirit that you do everything. You see, nobody's panicking when this comes down because you get a nice, your seat actually will shoot adrenaline into you and you'll be able to think very clearly for a short time, and then you'll freak out and need counseling. Oh, my friends, I am no counselor. I'm just a friend, but you're the pilot. I'm not really qualified. I'm just sitting up front here. I have the microphone. They've given me the microphone. Hello, is this thing on? And I can't resist taking hold of it and saying something to you because I have an irresistible urge to communicate with others. Oh, I like to communicate. And I sometimes, you don't always know what I'm saying, but that's why we have to try hard and try all sorts of things. I'll try poetry. I'll try music. I will try dance. I will try visual arts. I will try screaming. I will try whispering. I will try silently holding your hand. And somehow I will convey to you that I too am experiencing this wonderful human ride, this strange journey that does not seem to have a destination. Oh no, I may never get there. I'm not sure that I would know what to do if I did.
Sugar, pepper. There, I said it 500 times.
Was I right? Doesn't it sound absurd after saying it 500 times in a row?
I think I achieved the desired effect at 10 times. But you're right. The words have lost all meaning.
It's just sugar and pepper mixed together, right?
Of course. It's called sugar pepper.
Why does Hardy have such a hard time just accepting the simple definitions of words?
I try not to think about the meaning of words too much. I find that I can convey more with sound and expression and pointing and grunting and insisting and then either acting the idea out or gesturing wildly in the direction of the thing or action of which I'm referring.
I think most people know what you're thinking, and it's passive-aggressive to make them speak it out loud.
When I travel in other countries, I don't even know the language, and I get by fine with just a translator or their knowledge of English.
The first language I learned was just one my father made up, especially for me, and I spent the first few years of my life learning it. But it turns out that language doesn't work that way. It's not enough for you to understand just yourself.
It's like uniforms. One time, I was the only guy at work wearing their uniform, and I was the one who looked out of place, even though I had on a uniform.
So, is your birth name not Butchie?
Of course it is.
What about that story about you having to change your name to fool the Angel of Death?
That never happened.
Good story, though.
Did you not really know your name was Lewis?
Oh, no, I knew.
So, why do we never tell the truth to Hardy?
I'm not sure. He makes you want to lie to him for some reason. It's not malicious.
That's too bad. But yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, you guys, what are you talking about?
Sugar pepper.
Did you know that the Azores are the largest producers of sugar pepper?
Hey, my ancestors are from the Azores.
Maybe you're sugar pepper.
I have a question.
Shoot.
Is your name really Hardy White?
I don't really know who I am. If I don't know who I am, how can you know who I am? I know, it's very complicated. Oh, my goodness, language, I guess, is imperfect. Everything we convey is imperfect. And you're looking at this and you say, I don't know. I've listened to this now for a while. I don't know what's true. I think I know less listening to your show. No, that's not possible. You know more because now you know things that you knew weren't maybe things that you knew at all. For example, a lot of times you'll look in your closet and you'll think, oh, I have 4 suit coats. And then you'll see that 3 of them are actually made of paper and they're not real. So I thought I had, now I have 3 suit coats less. No, you never had them to begin with. You thought you did. Oh, I'd rather know what's true than think I know a lot of stuff. I don't need that. It's not good for my ego or anything. It just confuses me. I may know wrong things about you and I make terrible decisions based on that ignorance. So I would, I welcome being wrong or confused or something. I live that way. Just recently I had to fly and we were flying around and I thought I was flying to New York City. And then it turned out that LaGuardia was closed for weather. And so the pilot said, I'm sorry. I guess we're going to Syracuse. And I said, okay, we're going to Syracuse. That's not really where the wedding is, but that'll have to be fine. And then he said, well, Syracuse is full, so we're going to Pittsburgh. And I was like, woohoo, I like Pittsburgh, but we're not getting out. We're just going to land there, and we're going to get some fuel. So we landed there, and the pilot says, well, there's no gate. That's fine, because I had a whole bag of Fritos in my carry-on. So I felt, until those ran out, I was fine. I'd be fine. And then I had a couple lollipops. So I was like, man, I could basically live forever right here. And there's a bathroom and there's people, so I'd never get lonely. And I wouldn't get lonely for the smell of human sweaty stink, because that would eventually permeate the air. Oh, and I'd live in this big metal tube with a bunch of strangers. Isn't that what it's like being alive?
No, not really.
Okay, well, it's part of it. It's part of the experience. Everything is an angle. Everything is a different facet of life, of being alive. It's all part of it. Again, there's no engine noise. Again, you have earbuds in, and they're cutting out their noise canceling. And they're also this sort of logic canceling. They're sort of expectation canceling headphones, too. Isn't that amazing? And so you're like, oh, some of these ideas are not new to me, Hardy. That's great. That's fine. You can find things in a thrift store, in a used store, right? Why wouldn't there be a beautiful Brooks Brothers suit in that thrift store? Rich people die. Their stuff has to go somewhere. Why wouldn't it go here? You can find all sorts of wonderful things, and they're free. They're virtually free. But as you know, oh, I like to talk about things that we're unsure of, things that we don't know what's really going on. And I don't mind being confused or wandering aimlessly. I was walking through Brooklyn just the other day because I was up there and I was headed somewhere. And I thought I knew where I was going, but it turns out I was wandering aimlessly, which was fine because I was enjoying myself. I didn't know that I was not headed right exactly towards my destination. And I was seeing all sorts of things, and it was lovely to me. I was looking around. There was so many new sights for me to see. I wasn't used to that place. And so everything was new. I was probably seeing more than the people who lived there because they thought they knew what was all around them, and I knew I didn't know. So I was looking a little harder, a little more carefully than your average Brooklynite. At one point, I passed a celebrity. I'm not going to say who, but he's on Game of Thrones, and he was walking around. And I don't want to say what neighborhood because I don't want people to bother him or anything. But did I look at the celebrity? No, I turned away because I thought, well, he's going to want his celebrity privacy. And you can see he's already put a hex on me and I'm choking. But that was exciting to me. I said, look at that. I've seen a person who does their work in public and recognize them. And I thought, well, it's just an ordinary person. It just so happens that everything they do is recorded and broadcast to millions of people. That could be me. I doubt it. But it was sort of exciting. Everything I saw was new. And maybe people who live there are used to that sort of thing, but I'm not. Oh, it's all new to me. Every time I see the New York skyline, I'm amazed. And perhaps people who live there have just stopped seeing it. But to me, it's still magical and crazy and unbelievable. I try to go through my own life like that. I try to do that when I'm walking around my own neighborhood. I try to imagine that I've never seen it before, so that I look more carefully, and there's lots to see. Oh, there's lots I've missed, and every day something new happens. You can say, oh, those are the same old crows, but are they? Look a little more carefully. Are they the same crows? They might be doing something different today. And the reason I know that it's a different day is sometimes I'll look up and I'll go, hawk! I do that a lot. I'll do that driving. I scare people. I go, hawk, because every time I see a hawk, I yell hawk because I think they're lovely creatures. And I don't see them that often, right? I mean, fairly, but once every few weeks. And so I like to announce it. It's new. It's exciting to me.
You better stop messing with this old-timey interstellar radio equipment. You're going to get in trouble, Peanut.
No, I'm good. No, I won't get in trouble. This stuff is cool. I bet I can tune it just right and speak with a Starman. What? Listen, I think I hear something.
I am speaking to you from the northwest quadrant of the Pegasus constellation.
Uh-oh.
Oh my gosh! What was that? Did you hear that, Butchie? That was a transmission from outer space.
So what outer spaceman describes his location based on constellations and directions that are only relative to Earth?
He's translating it into a language we can understand. Like, if he calls us puny humans, he just is describing our physical standing vis-a-vis his people in terms we can grasp.
A while ago, a friend introduced me to the phrase staircase words. Those are things you think of to say after you've already left the conversation. So you're at a party and somebody asks you something and you don't think of a response until you're halfway down the stairs, even if they don't have stairs. And you think, oh, you know, I should have, when they asked me how I was, I should have said fine. Now I think of it. I just stood there dumbfounded because I wasn't sure what the question meant. Maybe I was overthinking it. They just wanted a polite answer. They didn't want me to really assess my entire life. Oh, I wish I had thought of that ahead of time. It's so difficult to communicate with others. I do the best I can. I say I meet new people, and I say things. Do you ever meet someone, and you say something, you think, oh, this had made my other friends laugh, and the new person looks at you like, I absolutely loathe your type, or something like that. And you go, I don't know what to do now. I don't know what to do. Should I be resentful that they're not giving me a chance? I'm not even sure what to do. Should I be hurt? Should I be angry? It's funny that sometimes we don't even know what emotion to have. You think, oh, emotions just come naturally, but sometimes you decide on them. You have to think just for a second. Should I be slighted? I'm not even sure what they said. Maybe they look at everybody that way. Maybe I should wait before I come to some sort of conclusion. And this has happened to me so many times that sometimes I wait a long time. Sometimes I don't figure out what to say to someone until they're dead. Isn't that interesting? And I guess that, you know, I'm not the only one.
Testing. Testing. Audio letter to Aunt Alice. Dear Aunt Alice, it has been a long time since I've written,
and I just realized I've never written you a letter, so here I am again not writing a letter. But I am talking a letter, so if you wanted to, you could write it down, and then it would be an actual tangible letter. But for now, it's just a tape. So, to catch you up from when we last saw each other, I've graduated both elementary and middle school and almost high school, but I'm still few credits short. Inexplicably, I do have a graduate degree in comparative religion, but that's another letter. Everyone is well who hasn't passed away, and I guess they are well too, but no one is actively dying. They're either already dead or haven't started yet. I have a house now that I share with two friends of mine, a guy named Hardy, which is a weird name, and a guy named Butchie. Actually, I've known Butchie since elementary school. He didn't go to my school, but he'd hang out there and sell cigarettes. I sure do miss the old days when we'd all get together and visit, and even though I would mostly fall asleep when the adults talked, I have fond memories of those naps. How is Uncle Victor? I have never been to North Arlington and would like to visit someday. I was really sad when you all died, and I still remember Mom telling me. So anyway, in conclusion, time is weird.
Is it weird to talk to the dead? Can they hear you? Oh, spirits on the other side, do you hear me?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll stop talking. But I don't stop talking, because they might hear me. I don't know, so I keep saying things in hopes that they will. I lost somebody recently, and there was a lot of things that were unsaid, you know? So I kept talking to that person in my head, even though they were gone. I knew they weren't going to hear it necessarily, and that doesn't really matter. It was I who needed to get through those things, so I kept talking. I kept speaking to them, even though they were gone. And I tried to give them some things to say back. Not things that would provoke me, but I thought things they might really say. And the more I talked, the more I sort of worked things out, and it was kind of wonderful. And I realized that even if you're just talking for yourself, keep talking. Keep communicating, because you might stumble on something. You might work something out even in that person's absence, especially if you have some sort of problem. And it's nice, once they're gone, they can't make it worse. So you end up giving them more credit than they deserve sometimes.
Morning.
Morning.
Coffee?
Yes, please. Man, coffee is so great. I wonder where coffee comes from.
From coffee plants, like a shrub. Coffee beans are seeds.
Butchie!
What?
You spoiled it.
You asked where coffee comes from.
Yeah, but not all questions need to be answered. Sometimes it's nice if some things remain mysterious.
You're mysterious. Morning. How you guys doing? Hello? I said, how are you guys doing this morning? Why the silent treatment? Lou has me paranoid about answering questions now.
I just think that there should be some mystery in life.
Mysteries like whether you guys had a good night's sleep or feel well this morning?
I'm good.
I slept on my arm and a bunch of pocket change.
Did you fall asleep in your clothes again last night, Butch?
No, I fell asleep in someone else's clothes. Clothes are clothes. What's the difference between a pair of khakis and pajama pants?
One is kind of brown and the other is softer and looser.
Ew. You can sleep in whatever you want to, man. I know. And Lou is sort of right in a way. People think every question has to be answered. What about saying, I don't know, or just staying silent and thinking? So anyone want more coffee? All right, I deserve that. All right, everybody, come on in this way. Follow me, everybody, in. This is the sparsely decorated study where Colonel Dr. Smith wrote his famous letter to Captain Sowich for the British.
Question.
Yes, the gentleman in the shirt that says Pittsburgh, you'd be surprised.
Yes, I'm looking at how low the ceilings and doorways are, and I'm thinking, were people taller back then?
Taller.
Yes, taller.
What makes you ask that?
I mean, if they were taller than we are, these low ceilings really must have been an uncomfortable inconvenience. In fact, I think they might have been slightly shorter than we are today, because they often had poor nutrition. Shorter. So these ceilings might have been just perfect for them. Yes. Things were more in harmony back then, weren't they?
I have a question.
Yes.
This place has a distinct smell. Is that because it's the smell of old, or did it smell like that when they lived here?
Is the old smell old, or is it new?
Yes.
Did people smell differently back then? Yeah, they smelled like smoke and B.O. I know because we have a time machine. Butchie!
Vocabulary and Pronunciation. Lesson 4. Listen and repeat. I will say the word in English, and then I will repeat the word in English. Then you repeat the English word. Question. Question.
Question.
Art. Art.
Art.
Jealous.
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 Apple.
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 Glandular.
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 Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Mop. Mop.
Mop.
By the powers vested in me by the National Board of Directors of the International Order of Loading Dock Workers and Spoken Word Artists, you are hereby awarded the status of journeyman. Be fit and hail.
Oh, man, yes. Hey, you guys have to start calling me Journeyman Lou now.
I have a question, Uncle Hardy.
What is it, nephew?
Why do all the stories you read me seem so, I don't know, abridged?
Well, I've been getting a lot of them from these Reader's Digest collections of abridged novels.
What are they?
Well, they used to publish these books that were a collection of four or so popular novels that had been somehow edited down so you could save time reading but still get the gist or something.
That's like wanting to see the 15 minutes version of an Avengers movie.
Would that be so bad?
But it always seems like there's a lot missing when you read these stories.
Well, there is. And that's the nature of life. Most of it is hidden, and you're fooling yourself if you think you know what's in the spots you can't see.
Oh, now you're scaring me.
Oh, that wasn't my intention.
Can we make up things that are in the spots we can't see?
Oh, we do that all the time. There's whole university departments dedicated to doing that.
All right, just tell me a story.
We are now in our final approach to Sinner's Crossroads. We're going to be there in about 5 minutes. Flight attendants, please prepare the cabin for landing. And by flight attendants, I mean board ops, I guess. Oh, my friends, this has been a wonderful flight we've had together. I've loved flying with you. I would like a special shout out to all our premium passengers. I don't know, I'm sorry. I guess I mean people who have contributed to the station. Oh, we need your help. It's a great time to do it, too. You get some, do that swag for life, and you get some t-shirts, and you get on, you get to board first, and you get a little, not literal champagne, but something very close to it. So we'd love to have you do that. Go on for this October fundraiser and get those new t-shirts and do the swag for life and everything. Oh, you know, you're the one who keeps this airline. I'm going to continue this metaphor until I've just absolutely crashed it into the ground. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. You know what I mean. But, oh, we've loved having you aboard this. I am so lucky that you let me fly you around like this, because most people would say, hey, I need a destination. There is no destination here. This is just a Hardy White Miracle Nutrition airline that just flies around willy-nilly, as the French say. And we're not really going anywhere. We're just passing the time. But what you
will do is learn something. Not because I'm teaching it to you, but because you just have your eyes open. That's the way you are. And anything that you find out that's sort of true, you've learned something, even if no one has taught you that. I go in the woods, and the trees, are they teaching me? Are the mountains teaching me? I'm learning something. I guess you could say they're my teachers. But really, all you need to be is a student. A student of all you see and hear. A student of all you feel. A student of yourself and your own experience on Earth. All you have to do is pay attention, and you'll bring in more things into your heart. Oh, I'm so troubled by the things around me. I know. Look directly at them. Be okay that you have no solutions. No one expects you to solve those things. All we ask is that you think a little bit, that you understand that there's suffering is real, and that you may suffer. And if you cause others to suffer, there's a good chance that you're going to suffer too. And you don't want that. So I'm appealing to your selfishness. Please be gentle with one another. Love one another. If you open your heart, oh, I'm sure that things will happen to you. Try not to be specific. I don't want to make promises because I don't want you to then say, you said good things would happen. I don't know. People say, oh, this is the way to happiness. If you do this, you'll be happy. You know what Hardy says? Happiness is for the weekend. During the week, sometimes we're lucky just not to be miserable. A lot of us have really crazy challenges. And sometimes we just need ways to survive, to get through it. I say this, oh, it's your emotions. Start learning about your emotional reaction to things, how you feel, how others feel. Figure that out. Be working on that. So that's a good thing. Happiness, oh, don't feel pressured to be happy. Not all of you, if you're sick or you're confused, you might not be able to be happy, and everybody is expecting you to be. You don't have to be. That's okay. If I'm happy, though, I want to share some with you, because you may not have any. So I'll give you some of mine. And then, likewise, maybe you could share some of yours with me when I don't have any. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some sort of mutual aid. Some kind of shared economy of love. That's what I want. So that when I don't have it, you can help me, and I promise to help you when you don't have it. Well, that's very, very simple. That goes back a long way. Dogs know this. This is what dogs do. Take care of me, I'll take care of you. All right. We don't even have to be the same species. Oh, my friends, I'm so glad that you were here with me today on this aeroplane. We have flown. You know that on private planes, sometimes there's seats that go backwards. You know, all the seats face front on commercial airlines. But on private planes, sometimes you're facing the other way, like you might on a train. And I've never flown that. I've always wanted to fly that way. What it would be like. I want to see where I've been. I can't quite see where I'm going, but I'd like to see where I've been. That's interesting to me, too. That's why I like to read and read history. Reading is about where you've been. And where you've been sometimes can predict where you're going. You know what I'm saying? So I'd say, oh, I've just been to Pittsburgh. Where am I going? Other Pittsburgh? I don't know. Maybe it's not always accurate. I'm glad we're doing it together. That's what matters. Oh, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online at WFMU.org worldwide. Oh, hello to all my international listeners. Oh, you are my siblings. You are alive like I am. Your culture and experience are different than mine, but maybe only slightly. We all know what it's like to be alive. We all know the things that can happen to us, good and bad. And they're always best shared. Everything is best shared. Pain, joy, love, everything. It's greater when we do it together. Thank you so much for joining me today. And now we have reached our final, not final destination, but I don't even know where we are. Okay, deplane.